Hallelujah. Praise God. So here we are again. Hallelujah. The happy land. Amen. It's not as far away as we think. We've just been singing it, haven't we? You know, I want to be out of my depth in your love. I want to be out of my depth in your love. Scripture says deep calls unto deep. That tells me something. That tells me I can go as deep as I want. Because the invitation is to come deep, to go deep. So I can go as far into the deep things of God as I want. I'm as close to God today as I want to be. And you're as close today to God as you want to be. You are as involved in the things of God today as you want to be, because he threw heaven open and he said, come on in. Deep calls unto deep. The invitation is to come boldly right into the very throne of God. So none of us can complain about not being very close to God today, because the ball's in our court. Because Jesus did everything that was necessary to make it possible for us to have an entrance into God's presence and to live as closely to him as we want to be and to experience as much of the depths of God as we want. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
And he gave us faith in order for us to see it, to experience it. Hallelujah. He gave us faith for it to be realized. Hallelujah. Amen. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith that comes by hearing what he says. He says, come. Come deep. Come closer. This is what he said. He said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. In other words, he was saying, draw near to me and you'll be closing the gap. Any gap that exists is because you've created that gap, because I closed the gap. Amen. God came into the world so that we could come into heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. He came down so we could go up. So you're as close to God today as you want. You can pray religious prayers, or you can just press in. Come in. You mean, we say press in. Well, in a sense it is a press in, because you have to push through some obstacles. You have to push through all the other stuff. You have to push through the desires for other things. Amen. You have to say, my determination is that I'm going to go beyond the desires of my flesh, and I'm going to go with my spirit, and I'm going to press into the things of God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And that's why we've been looking at this series over the past few weeks now, is because, past quite a lot of weeks actually, but because so much of what Jesus promised for now and made available and made possible for now has been postponed by tradition, by religious tradition, until heaven when you die. When Jesus actually taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I can experience as much of the kingdom of heaven on earth as I want. As I want. And you're the same. God's plan has always been heaven's provision manifesting on the earth. And he's never been diverted from that plan. And when man blew it and man threatened to destroy that plan, God had a remedy. Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. Jesus was God's contingency plan. Before the earth was created, God said, what happens if man blows it? Jesus said, well, I'll go and I'll sort it. Hallelujah. God wasn't caught off guard. Amen. Maybe some of you never thought about that before. He was the lamb slain before the very foundation of the earth. God always has a plan. His plan is always for redemption. His plan is always for restoration. And that's why he said, and this is the time to turn your frown upside down, folks. This is why he said that we can be happy right here, right now. We don't have to spend a few years of misery and then look forward one day to the happy land that's far, far away. You know, when you start talking like that, you have to change your voice and everything. You know what I mean? You have to put on it. Oh, dear. Anyway, happiness defined as a feeling of pleasure or contentment, satisfaction, well-being, enjoyment, joy, cheerfulness, light-heartedness, exhilaration, elation, ecstasy, jubilation, bliss, and euphoria. Jesus said, blessed, happy, blithesome, joyous, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the meek, the mild, the patient, and the long-suffering, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek is defined as submissive, yielding, obedient, compliant. It's the opposite of self-confident, self-assured, or pushy. And somebody help me. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Jesus said, I am meek, and then he invited us to come and learn from him. And I said over and over again over the last few weeks that there are two things that we will be if we are meek. We spent a lot of time on the first one. Who can say amen to that? The first one, of course, and if you don't know it by now, you should be ashamed of yourself. if we are meek, we will be teachable. Hallelujah. And remember, there's two sides to the teaching. Whom God loves, he blesses. Whom God loves, he protects, he provides for. And there's the other side of the message. Whom God loves, he chastens, he disciplines, he corrects. But his correction is always correction for redirection. He comes to direct us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the second thing, I think I just shared it with you as we closed last week. The second thing we will be if we are meek is we will be unoffendable. Unoffendable. I've taught this many, many times over the years that you must become unoffendable if you're going to make it. And we'll look at that in a little bit more depth and a little bit more closely in the next few minutes. But who knows, a lot of people start off well and appear to be teachable. This has been my experience over the years. A lot of people start off well. Who knows, it's not how you start that's important, it's how you finish. A lot of people start off well, appear to be teachable, but then at some point along the way, they're offended at the word. They're offended at the word, and so they give up or they walk away to somewhere where they perceive there might be an easier message. What's God spoken to us again over and over and again over the years? I've not been building a ministry through you, but I've been building a message in you, and out of the message, the ministry will come. A lot of people want to talk about Jesus' ministry, but Jesus was a message before he was a ministry. His name is the Word of God. It says the Word became flesh. Jesus was the Word. Jesus was the Word walking around. And out of the Word, the message, the ministry came. If you didn't listen to Jesus' message, you couldn't receive anything from his ministry. You had to hear him say something before you ever saw him do anything. That's how faith works. Many people were around Jesus who never received anything from him. Multitudes of people gathered around him who received nothing from him. But those who received from him were the ones who responded to what he said. Hallelujah. Who exercised faith in what he said. They saw. They then saw what he said. They experienced what he said. They saw the fulfillment of what he said. They experienced that fulfillment in their lives. There's many, many reasons why people get offended, you know, at teaching. You know, you talk about healing. You bring the simplicity of the message that God wants to heal everybody. And somebody gets offended at that because they know somebody that didn't get healed. So they choose to bring God's word down to the level of their experience. And because you have invited them to bring their experience up to the level of God's word, they get offended because someone close to them. Maybe they themselves have struggled with sickness for many, many years and they haven't experienced healing. And so you tell them God loves you and he wants to heal everybody. And they get offended at that. And so they go away to somewhere where they will hear a message that matches their experience. Where they will feel comforted in their experience, which is an experience of missing out and falling short of God's glory. You see, Moses was not just the most teachable man of his generation, he was also the most unoffendable. Think of the many opportunities he had to be offended by the actions and the attitudes of those he was called to lead. And yet he pushed through them all. Even when God said, I just read it again the other day, God said, I'll wipe them all out and I'll start again with you. And Moses said, no. Can't have that. And that's why God had put him in charge in the first place. Because that was God's heart. But God actually said to Moses, these people, he said, I'll just wipe them all out and we'll start afresh with you. And Moses said, no. Can't do that. He wasn't just the most teachable, he was the most unoffendable. That's why God said he was the meekest man of his generation. Said it over and over again, I'm going to keep saying it, we must be unoffendable if we're going to make it. Matthew chapter 13 says in verse 54, when Jesus had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. What did he do? He taught them. Sorry folks, here we go. We've got more teaching this morning. Because it begins here. Let's get to the end of this. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? There was something in his message that stirred something in them. He was saying things that they maybe hadn't heard in that way before. And his brothers, James and they said, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. Who's this character that's showing up with a message that's not the same as the message we've been listening to for years? What do you mean God loves everybody and wants to save everybody? What do you mean he wants to heal everybody? What do you mean he wants to deliver everybody? What do you mean God's only got good things for you? What do you mean by that? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief, because they could not receive his message, they could not experience the works. They could not experience his ministry that came out of, that flowed from the message. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. You know the people, he says they couldn't do many, but he doesn't say he didn't do any. You know who received from him? The ones who weren't offended. The ones who recognized that offense would block their receiving from him. I've been at this now for a long time in my own country, in this place. And I tell you, I've seen many, many people offended at the message. I've seen many, many people come to this church and leave this church. And I want to tell you, not one of them did we have a personal falling out over a personality issue. It was always about the message. That's because I'm such a nice guy, you understand. Just in case you didn't know that, I thought I'd better inform you about that. That's the absolute truth. Not one personality issue. Always around and over the message. People getting offended at the word. That's the saddest thing, to see someone walk out the door and walk away from what God was offering them. But I think I've shared this before, but God gave me a word many, many years ago. One of the most profound words he ever spoke into my life. He said, Donnie, I said, what's that? He said, leave them alone and they'll come home wagging their tails behind them. Anybody that's ever worked with sheep or with lambs, you know a lamb's receiving when its tail's wagging. When that tail's not wagging, it might be attached to its mother's teat, but it's not receiving anything. It might be in the right place, trying to do the right thing, but it's not receiving anything. You've got to get it to that place when you see the tail wagging, you know things. And I'll tell you, I've seen many people in this church and their tail stopped wagging. Next thing you know, they were off. Well, the Lord said to me, he said, don't fret, leave them alone. They'll come home, wagging their tails behind them. They'll come back when they're ready to receive. Hallelujah. Because that's all I'm here to do. I'm just here to pass on what the Lord gives to me to give you. Amen. I'm just a channel through whom he wants to. But you've got to honor that. If you don't honor that, if you get offended at the word God's bringing you, you'll stop receiving. I'm just trying to help you here. Amen. He did not do many mighty works. I've seen people in this church saved, healed, and delivered through that word. And I've seen other people reject that word, get offended at that word, and miss out on so much that God was promising them and offering them. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now in John chapter 6, it says that as Jesus taught, as he what? As he taught, it says some of his disciples began to get offended at what he was saying, And so they gave up on their, he calls them disciples. They had made a decision to follow him, to learn from him. They'd heard his invitation to come and learn from him. And they said, yes, we want to learn from you. Then something about the message began to offend him. And they gave up on their commitment to follow him. They decided they didn't want to be disciples anymore. Whom God loves, he disciplines. If you can't be, if you can't receive discipline, you can't be a disciple. The Word of God is always the plumb line. The Word of God is always what keeps you on track. The Word of God is what it's our lifeline. Jesus said, "You shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that God speaks." Every rhema word, he was saying there. Every word that applies to the situation that you're facing right now. God's got a word for that. If you can hear it, it's your way out. It's your way of escape. It's your way through it. It's your way of overcoming. This is how we overcome, by our faith. This is the victory by which we overcome, our faith. Our hearing what God says. Our hearing what God says. Our taking what God says and applying it and doing it. As I said before, sometimes, we said last week, you know, no discipline, no chastisement at the moment seems joyous. It's not a happy thing at the time, but it produces something. It produces something at the end of it, if we respond to it. If we respond in faith, if we respond the right way. Hallelujah. Doesn't seem good, doesn't feel good. And sometimes when God speaks a word and says, just hang in there, hold on to my word, that doesn't always seem like the happiest solution to the problem. But he says, if you hold fast to my word, if you be steadfast in faith, you will discover that the word works. Do you believe that this morning? I've discovered that over and over and over again. I've discovered that all I need is the word. Amen. Oh, your phone calls are nice. But I'll tell you, I don't need your phone calls, but I need the word. Hallelujah. Your words of support and encouragement, that's cool, that's good. God had designed things, the things should work that way, but you know what, if they don't come, all I need is the word. I've got the word, I've got everything. Hallelujah. Whether you visit me or not, I've got the word. Amen. I've got the word, I've got everything. Hallelujah. See, we need to understand something. Offense can kill you. That's why Peter responded to Jesus' question after all these other guys had left. Jesus turns to the 12. He says, "What about you guys? There's the door. What do you want to do? Do you want to go as well?" That's someone who's completely secure. You know what I mean? I'd be shutting the door and trying to hang on to the last few. You know what I'm saying? how would you like me to compromise this so you'll stay? You know what I'm saying? I might as well. That's a temptation, isn't it? Let's back off a little bit, you know. People have said to me all this, back off. Why do you keep talking about these things? I said, because it's the word. Because if people have got the word, they've got everything. Peter responds to Jesus' invitation to follow the ones that had left. And he says, where else can we go? Peter said, I could walk out the door right now, but where am I going to go? Because I've already discovered, I've already experienced that you have the words of eternal life. So I can go somewhere else, but I might feel a little bit better for a while. It might soothe my soul a little bit temporarily, but at the end of it, I'm going to fall short. There's nowhere else to go. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 to 3, and then verses 7 to 14, it says, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Jesus answered and said to them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, These people draw near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I've said this, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. I've said it before. I believe Jesus gave us a clear definition of worship that's beyond what we sing, beyond what we do with our hands. It's how we respond to his word. He said to the Samaritan woman, "The Father is seeking worshippers who will worship me in spirit and in truth." Ultimately, it's what we do with the word, how we respond to the word, how we submit to the word. I don't know how many times we thought we could ignore the word, and we're just heading for a car crash. That's all we're heading for. We're heading for a crash. We're heading to hit something. Come on now. "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, in Romans 10 it tells us how faith works. It says that with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made. It's not just what you claim to believe in your heart. I can tell you what you believe in your heart by what I hear coming out of your mouth. I mean, it's easy to sit in church and go, "Amen, amen, hallelujah, what's the time, we're nearly there, amen." Hope there's nice biscuits. Hope Janet made a duff this week. And then when it's over, we sit down with our cup of tea and our slice of duff, and we speak words that totally negate every amen that we said, that expose our amens for what they were, just religious words, froth and bubble. Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Remember, there's two ditches at the side of our narrow roads in Lewis. And I believe in the narrow road that Jesus said leads to life. You see, it doesn't. It's a narrow road that leads to life, but it leads to a broad place. Hallelujah. But on each side of that narrow road, there's a ditch. On one side, there's legalism. And on the other side, there's a ditch called license. I'll just do it my way. I'll do what I feel like doing. I'll respond how I feel like it, when I feel like it, where I feel like it, how I feel like it, why I feel like it. On the other side is that legalistic, "Thou shalt do it this way or else." And there's that road of freedom that just says, this is what God says. This is, in Isaiah it prophesies, "You shall hear a voice. This is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. Walk in it." Jesus said, "I am the way." Jesus is the word. If you want to know, "Well, I can't find Jesus." Well, get back to the word. You'll find him because he is the word. Yeah. Hallelujah. What does the word say about this? What does the word say about my situation? Because that's what I need to walk in. That's where the Holy Spirit will always lead you. Jesus said he's the Spirit of truth. He will lead you into all truth. He will guide you in truth. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they will be a manifestation of the sons of God. Who knows that the earth, the whole of creation, is crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God. Who are they? They're the ones who are walking in truth. They're the ones who say, "I only need the word. I've got the word. What more do I need but the word? I'm going to keep speaking out the word. I'm going to keep declaring the word. Whether we've got a guitar or drums or not, we're going to keep speaking the word." You know, so when John the Baptist was in prison, he sent his disciples to ask Jesus whether or not he was the Messiah. Whether he said, "Are you the go and ask him? Are you the coming one, or should we be looking for another?" Now, this is the man who was there, right there, when the heavens opened and God the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And yet he's in prison, and circumstances are getting the better of him. And so he sends his disciples, couldn't find out whether this Jesus really is the Messiah or not. And Jesus told him to go and tell John. Listen, in Matthew 11 it's recorded in verses 5 to 7. Go tell John this: the blind see, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel, good news preached to them. and blessed, say blessed. Happy is he who is not offended because of me. The second thing we will be if we are meek is we will be unoffendable. And I'm going to tell you, if we're not unoffendable, we're not going to make it. We're not going to experience everything that God has. I'm not saying we won't make it to heaven. Jesus dealt with that. Jesus paid that price. I'm talking about experiencing the fullness of what he has for us right now, right here, right now. That causes us to be a light to the world, a world that the Bible tells us is without God and without hope right now. That's pretty obvious. Jesus knew that life is full of opportunities to be offended. But the way to stay happy, the way to remain blessed is to refuse these opportunities. To recognize these opportunities. In Luke chapter 17 verse 1, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. In other words, every day you're going to have opportunities to be offended. Every day there's going to be you're going to hear something, you're going to see something that can become an offense in you. In fact, the Greek word for offense, it means stumbling blocks. Literally, the word was it meant the trigger or the bait stick of a trap or a snare. So offense gets attached. If you take the bait, offense is the bait. Whatever that circumstance, that situation, that word, whatever that look that threatens to become an offense to you, it's attached to the bait stick of a snare. And as soon as you allow that, you take hold of that offense, boom, something closes over you. Something gets a grip on you. Something takes a hold of you. And it's not about to let you go in a hurry. And at the end of that, any animal that's caught in a snare, it might be a slow and painful death, but death is the result. It will be the end. Because it's not going anywhere. And something begins to starve. And there's a pain attached to it. And they might bleed out slowly, or they might just starve to death, but death will be the end. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19, it says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. I've seen offense take hold of people. I've seen people get offended. And it's almost like there's something just closes around them that's impenetrable. From then on, every message of bounces off that. Everything that... come on! It's like a pea shooter off a window, you know. Just bounces off. Bing, 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 bing. Everything that you bring, it can't get past that offense. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. The only way that person can get free is by giving up their offense. By giving it up. By recognizing what has happened and releasing that offense. There'll always be opportunities to be offended. That's why we must become, somebody help me, unoffendable. When we take the bait of offense, it locks us into a downward spiral that Jesus taught ends in death. In Matthew 24, verses 10 to 14, Jesus says, many will be offended. What happens next? Then they betray one another. Oh boy, have we seen this? Then what happens? Then they hate one another. Betrayal. You know, so and so. We need to take hold of these things. I tell you, betrayal is it's out there. What do you mean betray? Well, when I gossip about you, I'm betraying you. When I say something negative about you to somebody else, I'm betraying you. Because I'm there to protect you. My role and function over your life is to protect you, to guard you, to cover your back, not to expose it. Many a betrayal came in the form of a prayer request. Someone comes to you bursting with a prayer request, beware. Well, we really need to pray for so and so. Why was that? Oh, well, because that. Oh. Because I just saw them with so and so, or I just saw them going such and such. And all of a sudden, they've offloaded their burden. Mashiach, as they say in the Gaelic. You don't know what that means? Ask the Lord for the interpretation. He'll give it to you. Then it says, then they will hate one another. The more that you talk negatively about someone, the more you'll begin to despise that person. Because you've just talked them down to yourself. Come on. Then it says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. You know what you do when you engage in that kind of behavior? You open yourself up to a false prophetic word. Usually it comes and tells you that you're okay. And even what you're doing is okay. Even your judgmental attitude is okay. Because you're one of the frozen chosen. You're one of the chosen few. You're part of the remnant. You're it. I want to remind you what the scripture says. It says love exposes sin. No, love covers a multitude of sin. And it says because of that, receiving that false prophetic message, lawlessness will abound. You know, well, what's lawlessness? Well, Jesus said, here's the law, guys, distilled into two simple statements. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law, the new law, the law of love, the law upon which Christ builds the church. So anything outside of that is lawlessness. And it says, as a result of that lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. You said on old ladies with a friend of my mother's, if you met her and you'd been in her company for more than 5 seconds and you hadn't kissed her, she would say, oh, is your love growing cold? Some of you know who I'm talking about. dear. Very. Hallelujah. But he who endures to the end, he who remains unoffendable to the end, shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then, and only then, the end will come. What are we waiting? People are watching the world saying, oh, they're looking for all the bad things. We weren't supposed to be looking for the bad things. We're supposed to be so busy going into all the world preaching the gospel that we don't even have time to consider the bad things. We're not here. Let me just remind you what the gospel means. It means good news. Don't come round here with all the bad news. The church isn't the place to bring the bad news. The church is the place to remind us that we have good news. And to take that good news, and we're not out here to go and tell them all the bad. They know all the bad things. They're experiencing the bad stuff. We're here with the good news.
Right.
Because Jesus said that the end of this world will be contingent upon the good news being preached.
Right.
Not the bad news. No, this mess or that mess or this conference or that conference telling you about all the bad stuff. If I want to know about the bad stuff, I just have to put on TV, BBC News 24. That's all the bad stuff. I can have it now 24 hours a day. I can just leave that channel running. Katrina's tempted to do that sometimes, I think. Come down, I better tell you on it. There it is, 503, isn't it? BBC News 24. You know, if you've not seen it on the screen, you can read it on the ticker tape, you know, just in case you missed it. No, we are here for the good news. We're not here to tell people about the bad news. They know about that. They're living in it. They're experiencing it. That's the church being diverted. That's somewhere offense got in somewhere.
Yeah.
And we hit the spiral. No, when the good news has been preached, then the end will come. Because the good news has an impact and an effect. The bad news can't have. Bad news keeps you looking around. The good news keeps you looking up. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. We're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for the Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Somebody help me. Word of God tells me the spirit of Antichrist is already at loose. We know about it. You know what it means, Antichrist? It can mean two things, but it means against the anointed one and his anointing, or in place of the anointed one and his anointing. That's what Antichrist means. That's already out there. It's doing its stuff. But we are here, and we have the anointed one. And we are looking for him, and we are looking to see him manifest his glory. And we are looking for him to return bodily to the earth. And that will happen when this gospel, the good news, has been preached. Not the bad news, the good news. You need to understand, people who begin to focus on the bad news, they become kind of polarized in their own little camp. And all of a sudden they raise a little flag, and they're the ones who are doing it. Somebody help me. This devil is subtle. I'm not having a go at him here. I'm just trying to say, look, guys, if that might be you, or if you've been threatened or been tempted to get involved in that, then back out. Let go. A snare is closed on you. You have the power and the authority to break loose from by releasing some place of offense. Some negative experience in your life where all of a sudden a dark area was created there and something's begun to grow there. It's called the root of bitterness, by which many are defiled if you allow that root to remain. We're not here to defile. Come on, we're here to heal. We're here to cleanse. Jesus gives us a clear message there on the tragic results of allowing offense to remain. It leads to betrayal, then hatred, then deception, then lawlessness, and ultimately people's love grows cold. Remember the Holy Spirit troubleshooting guide the Lord gave me this years ago. I've passed it on many times over the years if you've been around, if you've been teachable. Hallelujah. You know when you buy a DVD player, or maybe a Blu-ray player, or whatever you call it now, or a new computer or whatever, or any electrical goods or anything like that, or even your vehicle, your car, you know, something goes wrong and you go into the glove compartment, you get out the book, you know. You never thought about the book until something went wrong, until you wanted to find something. Where's the spare wheel in this car? You don't really want to know that until you got a puncture. If you buy one of the new cars, you probably don't have a spare wheel. You can search that book inside out, you ain't going to find it because it isn't there. but the troubleshooting guide. And the Lord said to me years ago, he said, I want to give you a troubleshooting guide. And he gave it to me very simply. He said, where there is no love, there will be no faith. So if there's no faith, it's because there's no love. It's not because there's no faith, it's because there's no love first. Where there's no love, there will be no faith. Where there is no faith, there will be no power. If you discover there's no power, well, back up a little bit. It's because there's no faith. And if there's no faith, it's because there's no love. Are we getting this? He said, where there is no power, there will be no light. Where there is no light, there will be no conviction. Where there is no conviction, there will be no godly sorrow. Where there is no godly sorrow, there will be no repentance. Where there is no repentance, there will be no new life. And where there is no new life, there will be no growth or multiplication. Hey, wait a minute. There doesn't seem to be much multiplication. Well, there's no new life. Why is that? No repentance. Why is that? No godly sorrow. Why is that? No conviction. Why that? No light, no power, no faith, no love. And it all begins there with love. When the love of many grows cold, all of a sudden we start talking about decrease rather than increase. But those, Jesus said, who resist the opportunities to be offended, they will continue to preach the good news to the whole world. That's our focus. That's why we're here. Then the end will come that ushers in a new beginning. It's not the end, it's the beginning. Hallelujah. It's the end of things as we know it, but it's the beginning of that which will never end. Hallelujah. Come on. That's good news. John chapter 1 verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus said his yoke is easy and his burden is Light, I want to tell you, an easy yoke is teachability, responding to His direction. If you want to experience the easy yoke, be teachable. A light burden, I want to tell you, if you want to experience a light burden, be unoffendable. It means staying free from the heavy load of bitterness and resentment. As soon as you take that stuff on, you realize it's a heavy load. It's a load you weren't designed to carry. God doesn't come to crush us. He doesn't come to remove our personalities. Some people think He comes to change your personality. No, He comes to change your character. Not your personality. He comes to harness us, to bring us into a place of effective service in His kingdom, into a place where the fulfillment of our destiny becomes a possibility as those who inherit the earth. Those who inherit the earth. There is a happy land. And we are here to ensure that that happy land becomes a reality. Here, right here. We are here to take the land. We're here to possess the land. We're here to occupy until He comes. To do what until He comes? Moan and groan and grumble and complain and... No. And cry and greet and squall and bawl and... sling as much snow as possible? No. Did you see that program last night, the video clips? Yeah, I was just, well, you know, you got to watch it before the X Factor or whatever, you know what I mean? And I'm like, baby, we just saw a wee bit of it last night, we were having our dinner. And there's a wee kid, a wee video clip of this wee kid, man, this, I don't know, maybe a year old, less than a year old, and having a kind of coughing. But and then all of a sudden they're going, ah, yeah, no, that was two big beauties, but just go down, just like this. I think that was the last fork full of food she had that last day. I just laughed. Oh, that was hilarious, man. I was like, meow. And of course the kids like, we're not here to sling snow, we're here to occupy. Amen. So we're here to occupy until He comes. We're here as agents of transformation, of restoration. We're kingdom ambassadors. Come on. Hallelujah. I've got a message for tonight. How big is your butt? there's your... There's your 5 second hook, your subliminal. Go buy a can of Coke or something. Matthew chapter 5 verse 5. Blessed, happy, blithesome, joyous, spiritually prosperous with life, joy and satisfaction in God's favour and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the meek, the mild, the patient, the long-suffering, the teachable, the unoffendable, for they shall inherit the earth. Now it makes sense that true happiness is found in being all that we were created to be, doesn't it? Who created us? God created us. He designed us. He fashioned us. He created us for a purpose. And He said, when you fulfill this purpose, you will discover that this is it. This is why I'm here. When you begin to enter into that purpose, in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Who knows, there's a happy land where your frown gets turned upside down. Hallelujah. And let's practice that this morning. Turn that person next to you and give them the biggest smile you can manage. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know why we have church on Sunday, the first day of the week? Because we're entering into a world tomorrow that's under the Monday morning blues. Now you can choose to get under that same mess, or you can choose to live above that. And I want to tell you, some people who have experienced in the Monday morning blues, they will be offended by your smile. Come on. And some of them will say, what is it with you? And you can tell them. You say, thank you. I've just been waiting for that opportunity to tell you what it is with me. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a happy land where your frown gets turned upside down. In Psalm 144, verse 15, it says, happy are the people. Let's stand up together because we're done. Just in case, because sometimes it's easy for us to get diverted. It's easy for us to get turned aside. It's easy for us to end up in something that we weren't designed to be in. Doing things we weren't designed to be doing and still calling it church. Psalm 144, verse 15, says this. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. You know what it says? It says, as he is, so are we. That tells me that he's happy.
Yeah.
That our God is a happy God.
Right.
And that's why we were designed to be happy. Because happy are the people whose God is the Lord. There is a happy land. And it's Jesus said that the kingdom is within you. We've now concluded our teaching on that one verse. We'll come back to the next verse next time. And maybe we won't spend so long on it. But two things we will be if we are meek. Number one, we will be
teachable.
Number two, we will be unoffendable. And I want to just allow the Spirit of God just a moment here right now to come and do what only He can do. We've heard the message this morning, but He wants to come and bring ministry out of this message today. And maybe you're carrying offense and you know it. There's something gone deep inside of you and it's in there and it's a stumbling block to you and it's a hindrance to you and it even hinders your ability to hear the good news and to get happy about it. And maybe there's even people that you have decided should be excluded from the good news. There's people who have done you over so bad, in your estimation, that they don't deserve to hear the good news. You just allowed offense to become a blockage in your life. And God says, you cannot be as happy as He designed you to be, as long as that blockage remains. And your light will not be as bright as it could be. Because that blockage is limiting the light that can come, that your life can produce. Because all it takes is someone to mention a name and boom, all of a sudden it's back. All it takes for someone to mention a circumstance or an experience or someone to even bring an element of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ concerning his willingness and his ability to save and to heal and to deliver and to prosper everybody. Boom. It hits the blockage. It exposes the offense. Well, this morning the Holy Spirit's here. And He's here to remove every last vestige of offense out of our lives. I've been facing a situation in the last while, something I've been, and God's been speaking to me about, and something I've been meditating on, but I've also recognised within that the opportunity to look at something from the wrong angle and perspective and actually allow it to create offence in me. And I've been very wary of that because I felt it a few times. And I thought, Lord, I recognise what You're calling me to do, I recognise what You're speaking to me about, but I also see a ditch that I could easily fall into. But I need to hear what God has to say, and then I need to do what God says to do in this situation. And that is never focused on a personality. That's always focused on just taking what God says and doing what God says and letting God do what only God can do. Does that make sense? Maybe not. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank You for Your precious people here today. And I thank You that the Holy Spirit is here right now. The Spirit of the living God is here right now to confirm this word with the accompanying signs. Lord, to remove offense from our lives. Father, I just pray that each heart, Lord, they would allow the searchlight of your word just to come right now. And if there's any hidden place, any dark place, any place of offense, that right now we would just turn it over to you. And allow your spirit to come and just remove it. Take it far from us. And release us afresh into that place of freedom and liberty. That we might be those who will take the good news to all corners of the earth, to all peoples, to all people everywhere. Locally, regionally, cross-culturally, and internationally, holding nothing back from anybody, believing that it's your desire that none perish, but that all come to repentance, all discover the life that you have for them. And we'll do this free from offense. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.